Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I have a massive craving for the Wonka Donuts. Curse you, discontinued foods.bluesky.social. And with me, I have...
Look out for Knicks fans out in the wild. They will burn everything in defeat and in celebration.
And...
Well, still wet and damp in this fucking place. But hey, at least I have power this time.
Hey! First time in a while we're on time without a lot of external interruptions.
Yes, it is nice. Also, here's how we are on time. For us, the Nintendo Direct has not happened yet, so we're going to find out when all of you do. Or after all of you have already found out. Because that's how time works.
Yeah, which... God, why does it always have to be when I'm at work? I swear to God there had to be a time when they did a Nintendo Direct, like, in the afternoon or evening. Am I just hallucinating that?
They did that, like, 10 to 15 years ago when they first started doing it. And during the Wii U era.
Oh, Christ. Ugh. Well,
and I was like, rather should I do it while you're at work? Or if you do it while work, it's like, what you watching? I don't know.
I'll just have to keep the phone in the desk. Well, okay, hidden away in a drawer.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody's going to go out and think, are you watching Nintendo games? And you're going to go, no, I'm watching porn. Yeah, I'm watching porn. I'm not watching any Nintendo games.
At least when you work at a desk. Required to stand up all day and do stuff.
Much as I like to say working at a desk has its advantages, I'm not going to vent about my work environment right now. That's for off the recording. But this, we need to actually get on the train on the rails. So here we are. Episode 435, first time in a while we've been on time, so has everyone's week been going okay?
It's been the usual fare of stuff happening. You ever been on a weird schedule where you are off on for 6 days in a row? Because that's what I'm doing right now, and it's messing me up.
Good lord.
Like, normally I work Sundays, I'm off Mondays. This time around, I was off on a Sunday. I had to work on a Monday. That messes up my equilibrium because waking up at 6 a.m. on a Monday is terrible. Now I gotta do it all the way through the week. Off, on, off, on, off, on, off, and then on. I'm gonna be bouncing all over the place, and I'm already feeling it. I'm only 2 days in.
I can relate to that. Like, you know, we off this day, we got work that day, but you work with off this day, but you work 2 days, so you're off one day. And like, it's like you can't get a consistent days off. Thankfully, you go ahead.
Consistency is a very important factor in maintaining one's sanity. And when that consistency gets shifted around, I get a little loopy. So I'm just going to try and survive it. Hopefully I get back on my regular schedule. Oh, God. I hope I can just make it through the summer because it's... Also, the hockey has been good, even if my team is currently down 2-1 as of this recording. The basketball has been good. Knicks fans, they will burn everything to the ground in defeat or success. Just watch any side talk video, including the one with the guy who was in Marty Supreme. The one who said that one player looked like his dad's dick. Although we'd never seen his dad's dick, so, you know.
Okay, then.
Well, oh yeah,
I don't think any of those words are in the Bible.
Yeah, it's the big rotund white guy with glasses in Marty Supreme. I don't know how he got into that movie, but yeah, that's where he's from. Also, video games. They're good. That's surprising.
We might talk about that later.
Yeah, except for Crazy Taxi, because, like, you had one job, Sega. You had one job to do, and you couldn't do it.
Yikes. Yeah.
Oh, we'll get to that in due time. But, anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, as I said, my week has been more than usual. I mean, I can say at least I still have power, and well, I would say most of the week has been okay, except, like I said, it's been mostly wet and damp most of the weekend, because it rains a lot. It rained a lot this week. Well, not this week, but the weekend. It's like you rain on the days that I'm off, which, okay, fine, all right, I can do that. Whatever, I was doing, wasn't gonna do much anyway. Those about times to shield myself from the world, as in, I'll stay here and do that shit. And yeah, and I will say this, while I was doing some writing on my, well, stuff on the album round up coming up soon, hopefully, and if I found that, oh yeah, the soundtrack to a movie that I'm writing about is on Netflix. I should probably watch that. That flick being K-Pops, aka that one movie Anson Paak was doing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, I should watch this. And I thought, this is movie, I thought, it's pretty alright. Like, okay, some stuff is a bit, you know, predictable, as in, you know, musicians working hard, basically stuck musician trying to do his best but still stuck in a rut. But then there comes the whole thing of, of going to Korea, because, you know, Pakistan have Korean, but, and he goes to K-pop dance show that's like American Idol, see if you could dance, but K-pop, and the whole thing is like, who's this kid? I like you. Like, that's your son, which, oddly enough, is played by his actual son, which, okay. I thought it was kind of lighthearted. It's easy watch. Like, it's, it's about 2 hours, which I thought, not too long. It's like, man, but it's like, that's fine. That's, I would not make it a bit too long, maybe, but that was like, yeah, I can watch this. And it was all good. And also, cast pretty good. Like, I see Ben Nicole Brown as his mom, which, like, she looks kind of younger. At least, I was like, well, she looks younger. I thought she, okay.
Anyway, as for me, well, my one big thing is a thing that technically I'm not sure I can speak on in greater detail until, well, the 19th, just out of respect for the general company of the internet. But I did go out and see the theatrical screening for the finale of The Amazing Digital Circus. I didn't bring anywhere near as many tissues as I thought I should have. Picture every gif of, like, characters in One Piece and Steven Universe ugly crying. Yeah, be prepared for a heavy watch. Also, speaking of Yvette Nicole Brown, I actually decided to sit down and watch the Among Us show that came out this week. Wait, yeah, she was in that.
She's in that? Okay, I didn't know that. I know there's Among Us show. Like, I first thought there was an Among Us show, which...
Yeah, okay, it just dropped out all at once with, like, no fanfare, no promotion. Just, boom, here you go.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's on, well, okay, it's on, you know
Paramount Plus, yeah.
Service. Yeah, Paramount Plus, but I'm guessing somebody have yeah.
But yeah, there's quite a lot of, voice talent. Like, you have, so obviously you have Nicole Brown, you have Randall Park, Kimiko Glenn, Wayne Knight, who still does acting? Last time I ever thought I heard him in anything was friggin'... Was he the dragon in Shaolin Showdown?
I think so.
Yeah, that's the last I remember, Elijah Wood. Also, since this is from Owen Dennis, the creator of Infinity Train, you probably won't be surprised to learn that Ashley Johnson is one of the lead voice roles.
Oh, it was from him. Okay, I forgot about that.
And I will say, getting Owen Dennis to be the showrunner was 100% the best case scenario, because for a show with such a throwaway pitch as, hey, let's do an animated series based off some trendy meme mobile game that everyone was playing like 7 years ago, there is a surprising amount of effort put into this. Like, I wouldn't say it's anything you absolutely need to watch, like, right now, but again, for a show with that kind of, like, chasing trends mindset behind, like, its conception, you'd be surprised. There's actually kind of some decent writing in spots. And some fun animation, too. But that's pretty much about it for me. So, yeah, let's not waste too much more time, and let's get into the usual business of things. Starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes for your playlist, mark your calendars for new albums, all that fun stuff. So, let's start right here at the top of... Oh, hey, look, it's Moldy James again!
Oh, wow. We almost went 3 seconds without him. Gosh.
Apparently, yes. We started at Moldy James. Related thing, except, well, I mean, he's a rapper, but the main person here is the producer in here, who is called AC, AC, ACSVG, or I don't know how the fuck you say his name, or his producer name, but yeah,
looks anyway, like something that you type when your cat just slams their paw on the keyboard.
Yeah. And apparently, this dude actually has an album out, upcoming album called Cougar 77, which I mean on the YouTube page, apparently his name is. He also goes by Emilio AC, because again he has a Bandcamp, which is on the YouTube thing. Anyway, the title of the song is called Tax Checks. It's a very short ass song. It's very short ass song. He does this, you know, a very usual soulful sample flip, and that's kind of the usual what you spend on tracks that Boosie's on them, like. You get a soulful sample flip, which is like, it's usual, isn't it? You got a soulful flip, Boogie spit some shit out there. Like I said, it's kind of short as shit. It's like 2 minutes overall, or at least a minute and 53 seconds. Yeah, about 2 minutes. But you're like, okay, it's very short. It's a very short and sweet song. I'm looking at the cover art, which I figure is that a fucking Yu-Gi-Oh card or some shit?
Yep, that is a Japanese language Yu-Gi-Oh card. I recognize that graphic design anywhere. Don't go looking at my closet. You will see horrors behind your comprehension. By which I mean I still hang on to a lot of the cards from my childhood. I just think they're neat. But yeah, that's an interesting moment of a weeb music synergy.
Yes.
Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So I remember a while back when we talked about Floating Points getting into the ballet world, specifically helping with a project called Mere Mortals from the San Francisco Ballet, which is an entire like ballet, you know, performance themed around Pandora's Box. Well, apparently that score is now becoming an album that is releasing August 28th. And so, to coincide with the announcement, we have a new song release here called Her Gift. And, you know, compared to the previous track, this one is a lot more, like, hushed and whispered in its overall dynamics. Like, it's mainly driven by these fluttering harps that, you know, crescendo and decrescendo in the mix, with kind of like this whistling synth that also kind of ebbs and flows alongside it. The thing with trying to talk about this song is that it's not a bad piece on its own. Like, for what it is, it sounds very nice, but it's 100% one of those things where, like, I really feel like you probably need, like, the bigger context of the work as a whole in order for this to make sense, whether that be actually listening to it in the full album or actually, you know, plopping down the money to go witness a ballet performance. Which, do I look like I have ballet money? Wait, how much do ballets cost? Maybe I could. You know, assuming I don't go broke buying digital circus merch again. Where am I going with this? I forget.
So, basically, so, I want to say it costs an arm and a leg, in this case, a rob. I would have said an ounce, but he bit me. And it punched me.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to find a good point of reference for ballet tickets, just to see what they could possibly be like. Trying to find just one thing. Apparently, it's more difficult than I thought to try and actually find ballet tickets. So I'll just say more than you'd think, less than you'd expect.
Huh. Okay, I think that's fair enough range.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Oh, hey, look, Tierra Whack. Nice. Haven't heard from her in a while. Back.
Yep. And apparently she has, a new mixtape coming out on look, Juneteenth. June 19th. Sentence is the same thing where I got to watch Music of the Circus last episode on YouTube. This is a mixtape titled Wax Museum. Get it?
It's a pun.
And we got it's got a new single out, which is titled Wax Paper. And me, you know who produced this song, which, of course, you hear that classic Conductor. Yep. And I admit this fucking beat goes hard as hell. Like, oh shit, this is something you hear from the '90s or some type of shit like this is kind of hitting. Yeah, even the chorus go hard. Like, tell us too generous. You know what I mean? I'm the generous. You a snake. I see the resemblance. Mike Epps, cause I'm about the bitch. Cause I'm about the Benjamins. Which, okay. I'm act harsh to truth, y'all spoof at the bat, but it's not Zeus, sharper than a shark tooth, whack gog, I'm Doc Seuss. They say I'm uptight, but it's because I'm not loose. I got poop boys in the basement, he ain't my type, he basic, he didn't want to fake it. If I got tested out of 9-10, I'm gonna ace it. Okay. Alright, yeah, I was like, this, this hits. This really hits. Like, alright. I'm messing with this.
Yep, Tierra Whack definitely knows how to bring the good shit. Mm-hmm. Anyway, speaking of good shit, oh hey, what's this? A new track from Flying Lotus? Wait. Did I say Flying Lotus? I believe I might have misspoken. For you see, he's once again donning the moniker of Captain Murphy.
It's been so long. It's about time.
Yeah, it's like this been real long. Also, apparently, featured in the upcoming martial arts movie The Furious, which I've seen some. I was like, okay, this looks kind of awesome. So anyway, so you got Murphy, Lotus, well, and there's somebody else on the Brain Feeder roster by the name of Little Snake. Yeah. And check aside a Mudhole. And I'll say that, this is a bit different from the usual Final Lotus stuff. This does sound more in your face type of shit. Like, it does, like, since I mentioned the movie, like, this is something that will be featured in the movie. Like, okay, I can sense hearing this in an action scene. Like, I can sense, like, this be the perfect song for a fight scene. Like, I can hear from the beat, the percussion, and I was like, okay. Yeah, like, I see it work.
Yeah, bars are hard. And definitely what gets me about the beat is you also kind of hear, like, this, like, squealing, buzzy background noise that almost kind of sounds like a nu metal guitar groove. I'm like, hell yeah. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Speaking of more names I haven't heard from in a long while, looks like apparently this year we're getting new music from Protest the Hero. Seriously, last time we heard from them was 2020 with Palimpsest. The year that was and the year that wasn't. But let's not dwell on that too much. So the band's new album is called Within. It's due out July 17th. And we have the lead-off single here titled Mouthpiece. And playing, you know, hitting play on the song, we're in some very familiar territory with the band, you know, as far as their musical dynamics. Of course, Rody Walker, his vocals are still very, you know, soaring and very, like, you know, falsetto, but also when he needs to, he hits, like, those very strong gutturals. The guitar dynamics are, you know, typical Protest the Hero fare, tons of, you know, tremolo riffing, and the melodies are very much driven by lots of hammer-ons, pull-offs, arpeggios, and more sweeping than a professional cleaning service. And of course, as things progress further in the tune, there's plenty of more guitar dueling and harmonizing, especially during that bridge that has kind of like the cool rumbling tom fills and the drums and everything. So, instrumentally, everything is pretty solid. Lyrically, I mean, it's kind of typical, you know, commenting on just the state of things as they are. I mean, for fuck's sake, it literally uses, like, the phrase culture war or something like that several times in the lyrics, so I feel like there's a point to be made there.
So, this band has been a bit of a blind spot for me. I can't really say or explain why. I just never got around to this band at, like, any point. I discovered Periphery first, so, you know. But at least for this song, I mean, it's definitely in that prog core genre melding, and I kind of enjoy what I heard here. The lyrics are a bit veering off a little bit too far into that domain, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, fair enough. Funny thing is, I think Protest the Hero has been around a bit longer, like, oh my god, 2005. They've been around for 20 years. Jesus Christ. Okay, try not to think about the progression of time. Anyway, let's move on to the next track here, which looks like a new one-off here, courtesy of Rico Nasty. And it's got production courtesy of some guy named Kenneth Bloom. Who the fuck is Kenneth Bloom? Hang on. Kenneth Bloom. Whoa, Kenny?
Whoa, Kenny.
Yep.
What are you doing going by Kenneth Bloom? What kind of name is that to go by? Like, you go for Kenny Beats, the man who, you know, soundtracked Zach Fox's most ridiculous song, who did all kinds of great hip-hop production, and now you're going by... Kenny Beats is a music producer. Kenneth Bloom is someone who should be selling me antique tea cozies on the QVC network.
I didn't mention that Kenny Bloom did produce that one Thundercats song from his last album, which does sound like it would fit in there. It's weird, like, okay, you're going by your real name now? Which is like, unless you go for a name that's like, you want to sound like you're, you know, one of those producers that after using really, like, you want to sound like, you know, like Max Martin or Greg Kirsten now, you're like, except those things sound like, you know, they're just like Kenneth Bloom does sound like somebody that sells you perfume. Which is not a bad thing, but
depends on what the perfume, like, is.
Yeah.
But enough with the... Sorry to hammer on that too much. I think it's really funny that the Stereo Gum article that we're pulling the song from, which of course comes courtesy of Tom Brihan, just repeatedly hammers the whole Kenny Beats thing. But the single we have here is called Rituals. And of course, production-wise, Kenneth gives us this very, like, sort of eerie synth thing creeping behind this extremely, like, bass-heavy track. Like, every time the drums hit, it just blows out the mix, and you get tons of buzzing noise on top of that. And then, of course, it provides, you know, the perfect sound bed for Rico Nasty to just go hard as nails on the bars, like, son, all you bitches go sit with the nanny, smoke out the packs, I ain't rocking a fanny. We sanitize, don't need you handing, out at the party, bitches keep grabbing. Wild out with my bitches, I keep me a cannon, you not a ball, your game keep lagging. She not a baddie, her panties granny.
Bam.
Boom, roasted.
Like 40 counters, bitches off my back, 40 counters. 40 count, I roll my back to the max. Someone fruity, I roll up a sack. You roll my booty, I lick them, my crack. Damn. Yeah, you never go on in this bitch, but yeah.
So, yeah, you know, very, very good shit. Now let's move on to the next track here. So, you know, I find it very oddly coincidental in a cosmic sort of way that this next track comes just a little bit on the heels of Mr. Crash Thompson doing the Q&A video, you know, 1 year after he retired from, you know, doing regular YouTube uploads. And what I mean by that is we're getting a new Weezer album this year. Yeah, remember the last time you had to think about them 4 years ago when they did that whole Seasons album quadrilogy? You don't remember that.
No, I don't.
That is the correct answer. So, Weezer has announced that they're putting out a new album on, let me see here, August 21st, and you're never gonna believe it. You all need to hold on to the edge of your seats when I tell you that the new Weezer album is self-titled.
The hell you say?
I do say, my good man. Anyway, the color is gold, so, you know, do with that what you will.
So, I guess Weezer is about to say that they're gonna be golden?
Golden corner, Alex.
Easiest layup I've ever had.
You're right, but I'm still upset about it anyways.
Again, you go to the core now, damn it.
Fine, I gotta rest my voice for later in the week anyway.
Alright, so, anyway, getting into the actual announcement itself. So yeah, Weezer, Gold, we have the lead-off single here, We Might As Well Be Strangers, which is listed as a collaboration with the alternative rock band Wednesday, one that has had quite a lot of buzz in the past decade or so. Not just, like, in their own career, but also the solo career of their member MJ Lenderman, which... Okay, I need to paint a picture here for a second, just to explain how weird this pairing is. Okay, so for reference, I was introduced to Wednesday via their 2023 album, Rat Saw God, an album that I only knew about because it was ranking very, very highly on several year-end album lists. So, just as a quick sampling... Consequence had it at number 2, Pitchfork had it at number 4, Exclaim magazine had it for number 6, and Stereo Gum and Paste magazine both gave it the number 1 spot. And they're hopping in the studio with Rivers fucking Cuomo in current year 2026. This is... And I'll admit, my first thought was, of all things, and speaking of YouTube references... was thinking about a quote from the recent Train Records episode on Lulu, where Mr. Todd in the Shadows described that collaboration as a my cred for your hits sort of deal, i.e. Lou Reed lends Metallica his artistic prestige, and Metallica gives him a taste of their commercial success. But we all know how that actually turned out in the grand scheme of things.
It did not turn out well for anybody. We're just going to forget that existed and just move on, okay? Okay.
I am a tablet.
It's been 15 years. Let it die.
So, maybe I'm reaching and exaggerating. In fact, to be fair for a bit, as someone who heard, you know, who went through all of Wednesday's albums, and I've heard my fair share of Weezer, their creative sensibilities are not entirely dissimilar. Like... it's a bit, like, you could probably draw a line from the prime days of Weezer to the kind of fuzzed out garage slacker rock that Wednesday mainly pioneers in. As if we get into this song itself, We Might As Well Be Strangers, there's some decent instrumentation at play, like, it does have some solid drumming and decent enough fuzzed out guitar work that does have like a decent halfway point between their two sounds. That being said, as always, there is kind of an obvious tell here as to sort of who's doing what, and that is in the lyrics. Mainly, the song is about the dissolution of a relationship between two people who find themselves drifting apart in life. And, again, you can tell by just who's singing what. Specifically, Wednesday vocalist Carly Hartzman gets lines like, "Every night's your birthday, got shows back to back, excuse to celebrate a brighter, lighter, a louder stack, hand on the burner, cracking the skull, is it still hedonism if really miserable?" Which, you know, has a certain, literary poeticness to it, in kind of like that 20-something trying to figure out where your life is going sort of way. And Rivers gets lines like, "Happy birthday, thanks for the Valium, and thank you for the stack of dirty magazines. We lounged around, debated Nietzsche, I was too obtuse to get how much I need ya." Yeah, he decided to try rhyming Nietzsche with "how much I need ya," so only Rivers, am I right?
Well, the best and only thing I can say about this is that it's a late-era Weezer song, only with another band involved. Take it as it is, it's just eh.
It is eh indeed. I mean, unless they pull some other crack collaboration out of their ass, like, I don't know, is the next single gonna feature Geese? I really just jinxed the universe tonight. Let's move on. So, next track here, we finally have the announcement that Steve Lacy has finally scheduled his newest studio album for July 17th. Huh, just like the Protest the Hero album. And the new album is called Oh Yeah. Well, Oh Yeah with a question mark. Wait, I think he's already had, like... yeah, like that. I think there's already been, like, one or two songs he's released prior to this. I could be misremembering, but the point is, going along with the album announcement, we have a new single here called The Feeling, and, oh man, this is just beautiful right here, man. Like, you hear the production, which, you know, the drums kind of have, like, this layer of sonic haze over them. You have this really, like, warbled, you know, R&B synth bass line, and these really delicate, soothing guitar chords that poke their head just enough through, like, the very pretty synths to be noticed. And that really carries a lot of the song. Like, this song is just kind of, you know, pure romance and sensuality through and through in both instrumentation, vocal performances, lyrics. It's just, it really is the feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite the feeling. How about this? This sounds really nice. Sounds really beautiful. Like, oh man, like, you know what? This kind of deserves to be a hit. Like, this should be a hit. Like, I mean, like, make Bad Habit a hit, which is good. You can get this one another hit. You can get another hit, too. Like, yeah, like, get this one another hit. Also, I mean, also I want to add that, he's a part of Odd Future at one point, or at least part of a band that was part of Odd Future. Like, you even get that, Odd Future really made him sort of do different things, like whether it be music or acting. You think about it.
Yep, just about everything. Actually, now that I think about it, I'm trying to remember. Isn't Sid dropping an album that same day?
I think so. I mean, I know she's dropping something.
Soon. Let me check. I'm just curious here because I could have sworn Oh yeah, dropping July 17th, the same day that Sid from the Internet is dropping her own new album, Beard.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. Okay.
Alright, now to move on to the final track here. So this one requires going a bit of recent bittersweet music history. So we have the first official recording of new Mastodon material following the unfortunate passing of Brent Hines. A passing that I told was apparently left out of the In Memoriam segment at the most recent Grammys.
It was. Are you really surprised? Because I'm
kind not. Of. Apparently, from what I read, that was the only name they missed.
Yeah, it's a bad habit of theirs. They do a lot of Memoriam snubs for the metal genre because, you know, old people. Old boys club.
Yeah. So obviously there's been a lot of a very mixed feelings about this all over, but things, time just moves forward and everyone eventually soldiers on. So we know that Mastodon, you know, have a new album in the pipeline. No word on a title or release window. But we do know at least a couple things. The production side is being helmed by Patrick Berger of Show Me the Body, alongside, oh hey, Kurt Ballou of Converge. What a shock. You know, that guy shows up in so much stuff. Like, insert Jack Antonoff joke here. And then, of course, as far as the lineup, we have Nick Johnston in guitars and Joao Nogueira on keyboards. You know, doing what they do in the lineup. So we have the first taste of this, you know, new album and lineup with the single Your Ghost Again, which, as you can probably tell from the title, is heavily influenced by Hind's unfortunate passing. Now, to set the stage a bit, anybody who knows me and who's been listening to this podcast for a while knows that I have a real love-dislike relationship with most Mastodon albums post The Hunter. Which is kind of funny, because I'm pretty sure The Hunter is still something of a contentious record in their discography, but I will gladly throw down in the Denny's parking lot to prove that that album fucking rules. But, yeah, like, everything after that, like, Once More Around the Sun, I still don't really like that much. Everything else is kind of, again, hit or miss, sort of. So, color me happy we get a track like this that kind of falls on the better side of things. Certainly helps when it rips right out of the gate with a pretty banger-ass riff, with some very appropriate guitar harmonizing from, you know, everyone involved. Of course, the song bounces back and forth between those heavier parts, and this more distinctly proggy set of melodies, and, of course, that's distinct drum grooves from Brand Daler. You know, not only is he doing the vocals in parts, but also he kind of has, like, you know, that distinct jittery, follow-the-guitars kind of drumming style going on. So, you know, overall, back and forth between, like, the heavier parts and the proggy parts, it does have a pretty good balance of, like, solid, Mastodon shit going on. And there's even, like, a, you know, speaking of Joao, you know, the new guy, there's, like, this little jazzy keyboard bridge, you know, that kind of segues from, you know, one section of melodicness to, you know, the outro and stuff. So, you have my attention. Let's see where this goes.
Yeah, it's a bit of a tough listen, given who's not in it for obvious reasons, but as a tribute, it's a real solid track that definitely harkens back to some 2000s era arrangement and riffs. We don't know when a new album will happen. I'd say take as much time as you need with any new ideas. We are in no rush. Make it right.
Yes. Take the time you need. So, that about does it for the new song discussion, and now we have the news, of which there's only one topic to discuss here, and unsurprisingly, it's about video games. I mean, it's kind of hard not to, because with just how much news and announcements have kind of been swallowing up the air to the point where, like, you'd be forgiven for thinking there wasn't, like, music news in and of itself, but there are intersections here. So, let's kind of set the stage a little bit. With the start of June, we're entering the dead mall of what was once known as E3 season. The event is, of course, dead, but the companies still whip out their, you know, big event live gun announcements for their various live streams that happen, usually within the first half of the month. So, for example, Sony had their State of Play event, you know, stream last week, which included announcements like new Wolverine game, showing off more of that Marvel fighter, the return of fucking Stuntman up in this bitch, Until Dawn 2, and even Frank the Gelatinous Cube in God of War Lafay. I love him already. Then, of course, we had a Summer Game Fest proper that came out swinging with quite a lot of good stuff. So, for example, the Code Veronica remake was finally confirmed. Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 3 happening next spring, which means that Alex and myself apparently only have, 7 months to play through 2 whole-ass RPGs?
Hopefully close to, like, 9, because I think both games take, like, 30 hours to complete, so I'm sure I can do that in, like, 9 months. God, someone help me.
Fingers crossed, especially because, like, I actually took out the disc, like, because I got them as, like, Christmas gifts, and I was like, oh, right, the second one came on 2 discs. Do we wonder if the third part comes on three discs? We'll have to wait and see. So anyway, getting back on track, of course, there was other announcements like Attack on Titan 3, a single-player Among Us spinoff, you know, speaking of, new Gundam video game, and a Fumito Ueda-directed mecha game. The nerds are eating good tonight. Apparently, we're getting two new Cuphead titles, including one built specifically in assembly for the Sega Master System, you magnificent bastards. And speaking of Sega, holy fucking shit, what do you mean Sonic Racing Cross Worlds? Fuck, I can't even... Sonic Racing Cross Worlds, said it right. What do you mean it's getting Evangelion and Godzilla race courses? What is happening here? And that's not even the most bug nuts Godzilla announcement we got this week, because apparently the same month that GTA 6 is dropping, they have the balls, the audacity to confirm a remaster for Godzilla Destroy All Monsters Melee, aka the game that introduced me to the world of kaiju and Godzilla, the almighty scaly one. We are living in wild times here, people.
Everybody's putting their games out either September or October, but thank God Atari is here to have some sack and put something up against the game that may or may not actually come out in November. So, yeah, thanks for that.
Scree onk, bitches. And, you know, let's not forget, like, the Atlas news with, you know, confirming the Persona 4 remake coming next February, and the fact that they finally remembered how to count the six. There's a new Spyro in the pipeline, and of course, we already mentioned that the day after we're recording this, there's going to be a Nintendo Direct, in which I will finally learn if Nintendo accepted my game pitch for Wario and Waluigi Go to White Castle. Probably not.
Yeah, definitely not.
No.
The guy can dream, can he? But okay, that all sounds hype and all, but it can't all be good news, though. Oh. Someone had to shit in the punch bowl, and you might be wondering who it could be. Was it Hideo Kojima for getting in on the AI train? Was it Adi Shankar for threatening us with Season 3 of Devil May Cry? Was it Sega for announcing generative AI in their revival of Crazy Taxi? Which is such a profoundly stupid, I'm going to hammer my own dick in public sort of strategy.
Also, why does the game run like Subway Surfers?
I didn't even know about that part.
It does not look good.
Well, folks, the answer, it's still Sega, but not for the AI stuff. Alright, so, January 15th of next year, we'll see the release of a video game called Stranger Than Heaven, a brand new title from RGG Studio, the devs behind the Yakuza series. Speaking of hammering yourself in the dick, how's the reception to Yakuza Kiwami 3 going, you guys? Hope it was worth it.
I still have my Yakuza Remastered Collection sitting here.
I take it the scissors was not good.
They put in a bad person in the game. A very bad person.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. We might touch on that. So, for reference, this new game, it takes place between the 1910s and the 1960s, and has music as a major theme of the story. So much so that the cast of the game will include quite a handful of notable music figures, past and present, in the cast. For example, Snoop Dogg, I know, contain your shock, Dean Fujioka, you know, the Yuri on Ice guy, American Idol alumni Tori Kelly, Otto, who you might mainly know for doing the main theme for, I think it was One Piece Film Red. And for some fucking reason, this game is going to feature the likeness of Tupac Shakur.
Wow.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of baggage that is associated with this, so let's try to, you know, take it piece by piece. So, first of all, RGG Studios' reputation has been in hot water as of late, pretty much ever since Toshiro Nagoshi left the studio and left some other guys in charge. The games have been more, like, over the top and not necessarily in a great way. they've been trying too hard to appeal to trends. They've been making a lot of decisions that kind of fly in the face of, you know, the spirit of the Yakuza franchise, not the least of which includes the fact that they cast a confirmed sexual predator in Kiwami 3. Yeah, that's the shitty person. There's also been a lot of questionable creative decisions. Like, this wouldn't be the first time that celebrity likenesses have been used in these recent Yakuza titles. I remember distinctly that the Pirate Yakuza spinoff featured Samoa Joe as one of the main antagonists.
Yeah.
For some reason. And also for some reason, they're splurging on commercials that feature Drewski.
Because sure. Everyone else is, apparently.
So, yeah, there's already a lot of tastelessness because of, like, the business side of RGG Studios and just how much goodwill they've been pissing away at the fandom. Seriously, there's a lot that you could go into with this. But then there's also the shady business stuff with, well, when Sega was asked for comment about this, they said, oh, we're so excited to be working with Tupac's estate in order to realize this concept of him in our game. And that immediately set off red flags for anyone in the know because, y'all know who actually looks over Tupac's estate? Definitely not anyone associated with Tupac's family, that's for sure. No, instead it's some scumfuck record executive type that apparently screwed his family out of the rightful, rights to managing Tupac's estate. Like, he basically scammed it out of his mom. Technically, it should be, you know, overseen by his sister, but his sister is, like, currently suing the guy in charge of Tupac's estate for embezzlement.
Oh, boy.
And this is considered better than Suge Knight? I'm just trying to put the pieces together. This is a whole lot of nonsense.
How do you make Suge Knight sound pleasant? That's...
People find a way, though there is nothing pleasant about that motherfucker.
Yeah, this, like I said, this is real hammering yourself in the dick in public energy. And the thing is, RGG Studios has to know on some level. Like, going back to the controversy surrounding Kiwami 3, they were very well aware of the visceral negative backlash to that one particular casting choice. And when they eventually commented on it, their response was basically, look, have you considered that the character he's playing is supposed to be a creepy asshole? So who better to play a creepy asshole than a real life creepy predatory asshole? Flawless logic, you guys.
Fuck.
Yeah, just, they are, so they know people hate them, and they just do not give a shit. In fact, they're actively just pissing in the wind, flipping off everyone, like, fuck you. And this is just, again, this is another one of those straw breaking the camel's backs for people, from what I've seen, like, the discourse on social media being like, fuck all you guys.
I'm just gonna say, blanket statements, there's a very thin line when it comes to, like, the likenesses of, you know, dead people in multimedia projects. Not condoning it. It has to be done tastefully, like in a weird historical context kind of way, at best, which doesn't happen often. So, getting his likeness as a fictional character 3 decades after he was murked, that's a collar tug right there. That's a bit of a collar tug and a kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like now I'm sitting here thinking, what is the most tasteless thing to ever happen to Tupac's legacy at this point? Because, okay, we have this, there was the hologram, there was the AI-generated vocals for that one Drake diss track.
Yeah.
By which I mean, you know, the... God, what the fuck is it called?
Taylor Swift something?
Taylor made freestyle?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah, that one. That sucked.
Yeah.
It's like, God, let the man rest.
Yeah. I would have said All Eyes on Me, but now, with the movie, not the song.
Nah, yeah, I get what you mean.
You know, like, but... I'm not gonna say it's Taylor's, like, you will forget it. You will forget about it in T minus whatever shit.
Oh boy, one of those. Yeah, so we'll see what happens January next year. But for now, we turn the page on the news discussions, and we have one more thing to touch on before, you know, the sign off, and that is the new album releases for the week of June 12th, 2026. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from Genghis Tron with Signal Fire. For the band Stitched Up Heart, we have Medusa. If you're still into Sleeping with Sirens, for some reason, we have their new album, An Ending in Itself. For the band Yes, we have their new album, Aurora. From Sublime, for some reason, we have Until the Sun Explodes. Speaking of band names I haven't thought about in a long ass time, Big D and the Kids Table have a new album called The Good Old American Saturday Night. From Blast, with an X, we have Labor of Love. From BB Rexha, we have her new album Dirty Blonde. And finally, from Olivia Rodrigo, we have You Seem Pretty Sad for a Girl So in Love.
Comes from the Crunchyroll.
always coming to Crunchyroll. That'll about do it for all that. Now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. Alex, you know where to find him. He's got the ad in the description. You all presumably know how to read. Mark, what about you?
Of course, in the Blue Sky Mental Media, where, I don't know, I just say shit sometimes. Hey, maybe something controversial or not. Or controversial, I mean, do you really give a shit what I say? I don't know. And then the site, mybodyhyperone.com. Again, I should have something up this month. Because, I don't know, I just wait and see.
Wait and see indeed. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, Instagram, other places, at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at surrealresolution.bluesky.social. Visit the website surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. Of course, be sure to find the link to the Discord server for the site there as well, so you can jump in there and chat about all sorts of things and speculate on whatever else is happening in the Nintendo Direct, should you so please. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back pretty soon with the album roundup for May 2026, and, of course, more usual weekly hijinks and shenanigans. So, until then... Okay, maybe Nintendo won't accept my Wario and Waluigi pitch. But maybe I could get Capcom to listen to my Ace Attorney Breaking Bad crossover idea. Oh. Give me money.